Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jared Havens, your host of Credit Havens. Today is going to be a phenomenal show. I'm very excited. We actually have a special guest, Andy Noble, who is on the line now. I'm actually going to bring him in here right now. Andy Noble, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Very good. Perfect. So thank you so much for coming on our show today. I'm very excited. You know, my last week's episode, I actually did a very short introduction to Real Alternative Investments, a company here that obviously work with you on that and helping people who are looking for help on alternative investment options. You know, specifically, at least what we do here is life settlements and life shares. But today's episode, you know, having you on, I'm really excited about that, so that we can go into what alternative investments are and just kind of giving the consumer out there and the potential investor out there just more knowledge.
Well, absolutely. And Jared, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. I talking about alternative investments or just investment in general, you know, kind of goes in hand with credit. I mean, we talk about good credit and maximizing our credit scores, you know, which directly impacts obviously dollars in our pocket. You know, we're paying more for things when we have, you know, credit issues like auto insurance and other things. Obviously, credit affects our ability to get jobs, so on and so forth. Well, in the investment world, obviously our goal is to have money left over at the end of the day to invest in our retirement and in our future. And, you know, for that reason, obviously these things go hand in hand. But what we want to talk about a little bit here today are just kind of the general concept of alternative investments. What are those? You know, we're traditionally used to investing as individuals into the stock market through our stock accounts, through the Scottrade, TD Ameritrade, what have you, and some of us trade on our own account, and then some of us hire advisors to obviously, you know, handle investments for us for our 401ks or our IRAs and so forth. Some of us choose to go the safer route, put money into bonds, government bonds, corporate bonds, those sort of things, but you know, then you get into this whole other area, Jared, where you start talking about alternative investments such as real estate, or you talk about artwork, or you talk about gold and silver has been very popular in recent years. And then another area that very few people know about, and I've obviously exposed you to, is this area which is life shares or life settlements. And we're obviously going to talk a little bit about this today, but hopefully that's kind of a good lead into what you wanted to cover here.
No, exactly. And I think that, you know, what you brought up earlier is exactly what we're trying to do here, which obviously, you know, you've been a part of this since the beginning of helping us and advising us, you know, but when it comes to, you know, real credit solutions and Cornerstone Student Loan Services, you know, initially those are the two companies which you're aware of that we have that we're working on and growing and helping people. You know, one of the biggest visions that I had since the very beginning was making sure that clients that come to us for help not only are getting the help that they need, you know, based on their original goal, where maybe they're looking to improve FICO credit scores to be approved for a mortgage. You know, maybe they're in a position where they need to lower interest rates on an auto loan due to bad credit to improve credit to get a better interest rate. You know, all those things that we're providing to clients in a very unique way that really no one else is doing out there, really giving our clients the one-on-one attention needed and making sure it really is a custom plan. But then just take it a step further, which is why we're doing what we're doing now, is really educating people on how, you know, giving them the education needed to go beyond their initial goal. You know what I mean? Sometimes people are a little bit short-sighted on what they want. They focus so hard on, I want to be approved for a mortgage. I want this. I want that. And then as soon as they get that, then they're done. Well, it's like, hey, let's get you to your goal, and that's great, and we're going to do that based on your timeline to the goal. But on top of that, here's some education on, you know, budgeting, how to budget yourself. Are you doing these things? Do you need to get connected with the right people to help you and give you professional advice on that? And then also with life settlements, I'm really excited about this because of what you're saying. It's such a unique option that not very many people are aware of this option. And based on, like we talked about before, some things that happened in the past, you know, there might be in some ways people might look at it as a, you know, they might hear about that one company, like Viaticals, I believe you talked about, where it's like, hey, I don't know if I want that. Well, it's much different. I mean, today's market and what we're able to offer to clients is a whole nother ball game, which I'm really excited to deliver that.
Well, Jared, I think you hit the key word, which is education. I mean, whether you're dealing with credit issues or building credit, I mean, it comes down to educating yourself and knowing kind of the game, the rules of the game, which many people don't. And, you know, if it's student loans, you know, what type of programs are available for people to save money and or to get their student loans paid off and dealt with much quicker. Well, in the investment world, you know, we have a lot of our what we think of as the norms or the things that we think we know about, but we really are just scratching the surface of our knowledge base. And traditionally, you know, consumers or employees, for that matter, working for companies, their limited understanding of investment options is basically what's presented to them. You can subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, and you can, you know, if you know how to go through the market pages and the stocks and bonds, you can buy any number of things with a stock trading account. Many people don't want to do that, and they don't necessarily have the knowledge base or the will or time to do it, so they hire an advisor. But, you know, a lot of advisors generally stick within the investment sphere of stocks and bonds, for people. And we know that that can be very profitable, as it has been here lately, with people making some money in the market. But we also know that, you know, as the old adage goes, what goes up must come down. And, you know, 2007, 2008, even for myself, was a very difficult time because, you know, I lost a lot of money in the stock market. I also lost a lot of money in the real estate market that I had a lot of exposure. And so we get to a concept or a word here, Jared, that has to do with correlated markets. And the idea of investing in something that has a market correlation is just that. It's like a stock, or it's like real estate, or it's like gold and silver. These are all the prices and the returns that people generate on those investments are directly correlated or tied into daily market trades of those investments or those particular shares of interest in the company or stocks and bonds, gold, silver, real estate. They're all tied into the economy in general, and they're tied into particular market indexes. Well, one of the great things about life settlements are that we're actually, let's just dumb this down to the lowest denominator. We're effectively investing in life insurance policies. And people kind of, you know, perk up when they hear this and they go, investing in life insurance policies? Well, I know I bought a life insurance policy for myself, you know, whether it be term or whole life, permanent insurance, or maybe their company even offers them life insurance as part of their employment package. But most people are like, they look at you funny and they say, what are you talking about? I can actually invest in life insurance policies on other people? And the reality is, yes, you can. And what's key about that, Jared, as far as the opportunity for folks, is that it's kind of a two-way market. So you have people that have purchased permanent life insurance policies, some of which they purchased maybe 20 or even 30 years ago, and they've been paying, you know, premiums on that life insurance policy for years, which has built up some type of cash value potentially in the policy, but it also covers them in the event and their families in the event of a sudden death, that the estate can generate money from the life insurance policy to pay off debts and to pay, you know, associated costs of the estate. Well, that was the purpose for buying the life insurance. But as we know, as time goes on with everybody, purposes change for people. You know, the purpose I took this job 20 years ago may be a lot different, or my mindset about why I took this job with this particular company may change for any number of reasons 20 or 30 years later, or my relationship might change 20 or 30 years later, or my investment in a particular stock or bond might change, you know, 20 or 30 years later. Well, it's the same thing with life insurance. Somebody who's owned a policy may positively or negatively have a circumstance in their life that actually causes them to reevaluate the ownership of that life insurance policy. And let's use the example of a negative. Somebody has a health issue, or, you know, with a spouse or themselves. They need money right now to be able to pay their portion of the medical costs associated, whether they're on Medicaid, Medicare, or they have a private health plan. Maybe they have a lot of experimental medical costs that come out of that, you know, with the type of disease or chronic condition that they have, and the insurance company won't cover it.
So these are just some examples of reasons why people suddenly go back and reevaluate their life insurance, and they say, well, you know, I'm paying X thousands of dollars a year for this policy. I don't want to pay this anymore out of necessity or because I am financially secure and I don't really need this life insurance anymore. So that beckons the next opportunity question, which is, what do I do with my life insurance in that example? How do I sell my policy? How do I get money out of my policy so that I can effectively get out of my life insurance policy and the premiums associated with it and create cash from that? And that's what the life settlement industry does, is provide that.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's important for people to, whoever is listening right now, any of our live listeners, and also, you know, people that come back and, you know, listen to this more on demand. But a lot of people aren't aware that when it comes to a life insurance policy, a permanent life insurance policy is deemed as an asset and can be sold in the secondary market. You know, and I got that information from you, you know, and learning more about this. And I found that to be unique because I personally was not fully aware of that, you know, and that could be, you know, so because I'm a little bit younger and I haven't been, you know, per se looked into, you know, what I'm able to do with my life insurance policy. But, you know, I found that to be amazing. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that was passed. So myself just educating myself more on this product gets me excited. And then for anyone that's listening, yeah, I mean, your life insurance policy is something that can be sold in the secondary market, which, you know, if you want to get into that, that'd be great to kind of educate the people on why that is and in turn how that then goes back to, you know, what we offer.
Well, and so, you know, when you talk about in life insurance policy as an asset, you know, I want to be very clear about this point, is in the life insurance industry, you cannot just take out a life insurance policy on anyone. You have to have what's called insurable interest on a life. So insurable interest could be established through a relationship like a marriage, could be established through children, you know, having children, or it could be established through a business partner. There has to be some type of insurable interest for a life insurance policy to be taken out and be valid. Now, that's different, Jared, than ownership of an existing life insurance policy. And in 1911, Oliver Wendell Holmes, the U.S. Supreme Court justice, in a landmark ruling case, determined that life insurance is, in fact, an asset. We're talking about a policy that is already taken out and is in the name owned by a particular individual. And after that happened in 1911, many, many decades later, we saw the evolution in the early 80s of a market of what was called life insurance viaticals or viatical settlements. And this was really born out of the AIDS crisis. And, you know, we talked about earlier in the conversation here that, you know, experimental treatments that somebody needing to have some kind of experimental treatment for a disease or a chronic condition, maybe it's a fairly new chronic condition, and that's why. Well, you know, this is a perfect example. When AIDS first came out, you know, there was not any treatment for this, let alone there hasn't been a cure, but there wasn't any treatment. Well, today, you know, obviously we have all kinds of treatments now that can extend life without actually curing AIDS, but can extend people's lives, you know, indefinitely. And back in the early 80s, when that first happened, that was a very expensive proposition, and health insurers would not cover that experimental treatment. So what was interesting was viatical settlements were somewhat born out of the AIDS crisis when people who had contracted AIDS had the need to generate real money for experimental treatments. And, you know, that was somewhat of the initial foundation or some of the initial things that happened with viatical settlements. Well, now today we call this life settlements. And life settlements are nothing more than somebody voluntarily and willingly putting their insurance policy up for sale, if you will. It could be done through their life insurance agent or agency. It could be done through a number of different mechanisms, but there is a very small, finite number of companies out here who will actually purchase those policies, and it's certainly not a very quick and simple decision. There's some due diligence and some evaluation process that goes into determining if that policy is worth purchasing, and so, you know, it's typically about 5 to 6 weeks, and you know, there's a lot of things that are looked at. And number one, it has to meet a minimum criteria in terms of the person's age, the person's current health, the face amount of the policy, so on and so forth. But not to dive too deep into all that for the sake of your listeners,
yep,
because that's really not what we're on to talk about here. What this translates out to as is, as these policies are aggregated or purchased, there's a security offering that is issued as an investment that's a registered security, and in essence, a fractional ownership or interest, if you almost think of kind of like the timeshare concept, a fractional ownership interest is now available for investors to invest as little as $25,000 of their money into the ownership of those life insurance policies and subsequently those lives. And we typically have securities offerings in the range of $8 to $12 million. So these are typically somewhere between, you know, 8 and 15 life insurance policies in a portfolio. People can use their retirement plan money legally. They can actually take, you know, where they could be 100% invested in the stock market. They can now actually direct in a self-directed manner. They can put $25, $50, or $100,000 or more, no limit, into this type of an investment. And, you know, Jared, I guess the question becomes, as people are just first hearing this and understanding this investment model, is, you know, why would I do that? I mean, I'm making money in the stock market. I have all my money in the stock market, for that matter, or maybe I've got part of my money in the stock market, but I'm a little anxious about what's going to happen with the economy or the stock market, and I've got some money just sitting in cash, in a cash portion of my account, earning very little, if anything. Well, that's the point, is investing 101, or, you know, any good financial planner is going to advise anybody to have a balanced portfolio. You need to have proper asset allocation. You need to have your money not necessarily all in one place in the market. And yet so many of us, by default, have so much money, if not all of our money, in one place in the market. And the problem with that is, real simple, when downturns in the economy, such as we've seen historically over many, many decades, they're inevitable, they're going to happen. But we saw in 07, 08, literally, some people lose 30, 40, 50% of their retirement portfolios. And that's a serious problem. I mean, that's a huge problem for people that are planning to retire in the next 5, 10 years, 2 years, you know, even 20 years, because you only have so much time to make back that money that you lost, let alone continue to earn, you know, positively on the money, the foundation that you have. So, you know, the reality is what Life Settlements offers is a non-correlated investment, which therefore means that we're not affected by anything that happens in the economy. I mean, the economy can fall apart. What you invest in Life Settlements is not going to have any correlation or tie-in to the economy. You are getting a return on your investment based on the death benefits that are paid out on those lives and those policies that you've invested in. So the only risk we have is, are people going to die, which, as morbid as this sounds, the reality is, yes, all of us are going to die, so there's a certainty to that. The only uncertainty is when they're going to die, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So,
and that's, you know that's one thing that
–
oh, I apologize. And I was just going to say, I mean, that's – you know, when people hear that, like you said, you know, in a way it could sound morbid, but the reality is, like you brought up earlier, the people who have done this have chosen to willingly, you know, on their own accord to sell their life insurance policy for a reason, you know. And I was even doing research, you know, I was doing some more research on this and understanding that people can actually forfeit or do that directly back to, you know, the service or the policy that owner that sent that to them. But on average, I was seeing that in some cases going to the secondary market, a lot of times they're going to be making anywhere between 30 to 50% more on that life insurance policy than they would have if they would have sent it back to the original policy owner. So it gives them a better opportunity to obviously make more money on that life insurance policy. And a lot of times it can be for a specific reason, like you brought up. They might be in a situation that they need access to funds now for whatever reason it is, and it's a need. So therefore, it's an opportunity for them to make more money. It helps them. At the same time, it opens up doors for an investment opportunity for people like ourselves and people that we're working with.
Well, and that's, you hit the nail on the head, Jared, is, you know, some people, I mean, as I use the term morbid, you know, they think the discussion or the talk of an opportunity to invest in other people's life insurance and betting on their inevitable death
is a bad thing. Well, I hate to tell everybody, but the largest single part of our economy, segment of our economy, is the life insurance industry, which is what that's designed to do just that. They issue life insurance, which
yep.
is basically a gamble on their willingness to sell you a policy and then some idea through actuarial science of when you're going to actually pass away. And if their bet is right, they win. If your bet is right by living longer, you win. But at the end of the day, it's inevitable we're all going to die. And so that's why we buy life
yep.
insurance, is to hedge that bet. And that's why the insurance companies offer life insurance, is to hedge that bet. And so,
yep.
you know, I think you said it best. I mean, this becomes an opportunity for everybody, because you're correct. Life supplements and the people that purchase these policies, like our few investment companies that are out there, they will offer on average 30 to 40, 50% more than the life insurance company will give you in terms of the cash value that's built up in your policy. And depending on how long you've owned the policy and what your age is, you may or may not be able to get get that much money out of your policy in the form of accrued cash value, whereas somebody like American Alternative Investments, that we obviously are affiliated with here, might come in and say,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you X amount of dollars for that life insurance policy, which is higher than what the insurance company will give them, which gives that person more cash, which is really what they're looking for in the first place, whether it be out of
their exactly.
need, or they just don't want to continue on with the policy. But the life insurance companies that wrote the policy are who controls the cash value for the policy. So, you know, anybody who has cash value in their policy can effectively liquidate their policy and terminate their policy or let it lapse vis-a-vis borrowing out all of that cash value. And in the policy, because if you actually
yep.
borrow out all the cash value of the policy, by nature, the policy is going to lapse, and it's not going to be existent anymore. There will no longer be a death benefit. So life settlements really create a unique opportunity for people to invest fractionally, if you will, into these other lives. And as these death benefits pay out, you receive the proportionate share of the death benefit. So just as an example, if we have a $10 million fund, let's say, of 10 $1 million life insurance policies, which is often the case, and these, let's say, all the people that these policies are written on right now at the point they're purchased are 75 years or older, that are in this investment portfolio of 10 policies, $1 million each, $10 million. And over here, Jared,
yep.
if you've got a retirement account with $250,000 in it, you're fully vested 100% in the stock market. And you're saying, you know, I took a hit in the 07-08 downturn in the stock market. You know, I don't know that I want to lose 40% of my portfolio that I've grown up here. So I'm going to take 20% of my $250,000, which is $50,000, and I'm going to direct it over and purchase a fractional interest, if you will, into that portfolio of $10 million. Or let's even use a rounder number. Let's say you're going to take $100,000 of your $250,000 and do that. So you take $100,000 of your
yep.
$250,000. And you keep $150,000 in the market. Well, now we know all your retirement investment is not tied up solely in the market and what happens with the market or the economy that affects that. We now have $100,000 invested in lives, so we've just diversified our portfolio somewhat for safety as well, to make sure that you're in a safer type of investment. Let me draw out the example here. So now you have $100,000 of a $10 million portfolio invested, which is roughly is basically 1%. Every time each of those 10 life insurance policies pay out over that 10-year period, so this is a 10-year investment you're putting your money into, and your money's safe because it's backed by those life insurance policies, not based on a stock or a company or anything like that. It's based on those life insurance companies. And by the way, those life insurance policies and companies that back them. By the way, there is no history or record in the history of the life insurance industry in the United States where an insurance company has not paid out a valid claim for a death benefit. That's very important to realize, is if
yep.
it's not a fraudulent claim or something that was based on fraud initially, if the policy was written legitimately and the death benefit is due and owed but based on a death certificate, that policy will pay out, and we have no history in the United States life insurance industry where that has not happened. The life insurance industry is the soundest base of our economic financial system. It is stronger than the banks. and we won't dive into that whole separate discussion point, but so your investment is based on...
But that's important to know.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Yep. I mean, we all... when you drive down the street, what are the biggest buildings that you see? What names are on those buildings? 9 times out of 10, it's life insurance companies. Life insurance companies
exactly.
invest in real estate and in all kinds of things in this country. When we had the TARP bailout, I mean, the insurance industry was turned to for a lot of that bailout, not the banks, or it was actually the bailout, a lot of the banks. But the point being, your money is safe in these life insurance portfolios and with life insurance. So all of a sudden now somebody dies and $1 million death benefit is paid out. You have $100,000 invested in this $10 million portfolio. You're going to receive $10,000 back from that $1 million payout because you own 1% of that portfolio. So you just received $10,000 on $100,000 invested. That's theoretically a 10% return. The question is, what year did that pay out? When did that person die of what year of the 10 years? And that's what's going to dictate your truly annualized yield on your money. But here's the best part about this, Jared. What we offer people to invest in is a 67% 10-year yield on their money. Now, let me re-say that again. We can offer an investor who puts $100,000 in or whatever amount they put in, 67% 10-year yield on their money. You can't do that in the marketplace. You might be able to do better than that at times. You might be able to do worse at times. We're giving them 67% yield on their money in 10 years. Over that entire
That's amazing.
10 years. By the so every if somebody gives me a dollar, they're getting $1.67 back by or before the end of that 10th year. Now, you tell me a stock that you can invest in and have that kind of certainty.
Exactly.
That's what we're talking about here. Yeah, and so, you know, then the reality is, well, what if a lot of these people that are in this portfolio die well before the 10th year or the anniversary of the 10th year? What if a lot of them die within 4 to 6 years or 5 years? Well, you know, we don't know what your annualized yield return on your money is going to be other than the full 10 years you're going to get 67% on your money. But the reality is if they die sooner, you have money back in your pocket to reinvest quicker, which becomes a whole other calculation
yep.
of how you maximize your investment. So that's kind of the quick and dirty view of what we're really talking about here. Not to use, you know, there's nothing dirty about it. It's just more of it's a kind of a you know, we could talk for hours about this, and it kind of overwhelms a lot of people because they've never really heard of this investment opportunity. But it is truly a unique opportunity that can be added into somebody's portfolio. This is not intended to get people completely out of the stock market or other investments and to put all their money into life settlements. That's not the design of life settlements. It's not even recommended in my opinion. But what is also not recommended to me is to have 100% of anybody's money in one particular sphere of the market, and yet so many of us do.
Exactly. That's the key. It's allowing an investor to have the opportunity to, like you brought up again, it's asset allocation. You know, when it comes to, like we talked about before, qualified retirement plans, you can have money into the stock markets, you know, you can have money into real estate. Here's another option that, you know, like what I love about it is the fact that it's a higher rate of return with low risk. You know, it's not correlated to the market, and it's another option to just further put our clients in a better position for the future.
Well, that's exactly right. And if we can also create opportunities with credit that generates more dollars at the end of the year in people's pockets, it just gives them that much more money to invest.
Exactly. Well, perfect. That flew by. We have literally about 60 seconds left on the air here. Thank you, Andy. Honestly, thank you very much for coming on. I was really excited about this episode today. For anyone that was listening, thank you so much for listening. I'll be putting this on to social media platforms for people to tune in and listen to this recording. Definitely want to connect with you again soon, Andy, to do another follow-up to this. I just think there's so much more that we can bring out to just educate, you know, our clients and potential clients about this opportunity to help them.
Well, Jared, I would love
to. So thank you very much.
I'd love to do it. Thank you.
That sounds great. Well, if you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. If you want to talk to myself or Andy Noble, you can call me directly at 612 612- 612-444-3426. That's 612-444-3426. Thank you so much for tuning in to Credit Havens, and we will be back next week at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.